Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, go to seniorcarelive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so we're going to shift gears and visit with my friend and special guest in studio, Mr. Glenn Stockton. He's the owner of Stockton and Cant Law. And Glenn, welcome back to Senior Care Live.
All right, Steve, thanks for having me here.
All right, so earlier in the program, I had on Ben Socek with Home Downsizing Solutions. And as you know, he works with a lot of clients who are downsizing and transitioning to senior care. And part of that process, if it's appropriate, is that he can sell their house, but he also connects that homeowner with a lot of those related services or needed services to help with that transition. So staying with the theme of the house, I have so many questions. I know maybe just enough to be dangerous and maybe not. But I've always been a little bit confused by this stuff, so I'm so glad that we're talking about this. Let's talk about a person and their house and how are there opportunities, and I get this question all the time, are there opportunities to protect the house as an asset if someone is going into senior care?
Absolutely. In fact, that's typically one of the major goals clients have when they're doing estate planning and elder law planning, is how do we protect the home or, you know, the net sale proceeds of a home? How do we protect it from the state, you know, taking it or putting liens on it, or, you know, Medicaid spend down issues? How do we protect it?
And I've heard differing ideas. So can you protect the entire value of the house? Can you protect half of the value of the house? And maybe it depends on if there's one owner or two owners. And I mean, let's just go ahead and open that box. Right. I know there's a lot to talk about there.
Yeah, and then I can give the favorite answer of lawyers is it depends.
Exactly.
Right. But typically we can protect the entire value of the home, especially if we do pre-planning, right? If we're planning in advance. And that's where I think so many people miss this, is that they do their estate plans, but they're not thinking about what happens if I ever need long-term care, if I've got to go into nursing care or assisted living. How do I protect the home? And so when we do our estate planning, we want to be planning ahead, and then it's easy. But when we get into crisis modes, we haven't done proper planning, and maybe one spouse has to go into care. Well, if the other spouse is there, we can use liens and exemptions, and we can protect the home from liens with the exemptions of a well spouse. What if there isn't another spouse at home, if they both go in? Typically, we're still able to protect at least the vast majority of the value of the home, more than half. But, you hear that, oh, I can protect at least half. And that would certainly be the case. But usually we can protect the entire home.
And so let's talk about being proactive, because earlier in the week I attended one of your presentations. It was absolutely fantastic, by the way.
Thank you.
You covered a lot of ground, but I'll tell you what, you didn't talk over my head. You made it very understandable, very relatable, very relevant, and I just thought it was one of the best presentations I've seen in a very long time. And so great job.
Thank you.
But it was so good. But you had talked about a lot of different situations there, and you just mentioned two. So let's say we're planning, we're going to be proactive, very deliberate, and we want to look at setting up our estate to possibly protect what is usually the biggest asset or one of the biggest assets that we have, and maybe be able to preserve that, maybe pass it along to family, et cetera, or keep the farm in the family, et cetera, those sort of things. So if you're doing this in advance, what does that look like and how does that work?
So there's two basic ways that people are going to put their estate plan together. They're going to either use a will-based plan, where a last will and testament is the centerpiece of a plan, or they're going to use a trust-based plan, where a trust is a centerpiece. With a trust, it's easy. We, think of a trust as being like a safe, a legal safe. We create the safe. We put the home into the safe, just meaning we fund the trust with the home by titling the home into the name of the trust. The trust now owns it. And if we've structured that trust properly, that home will be protected as long as it's been in there for more than 5 years before someone needs long-term care. That home is 100% protected. And there's various ways we can set the trust up to make sure we get those protections. The other way is with the will. Now, wills do really do nothing for us while we're alive, right? They are a document that comes into play at death and answer the question of who gets what. So that's not going to help us protect the home. So if we're going to use a will-based plan, it is imperative that we have very robust powers of attorneys in place. This is especially true in Kansas because in Kansas we have homestead protections that are constitutionally granted. And so in order for someone, you know, if you can't sell your own home, you've had a stroke or something's happened and you have to go into long-term care and somebody's got to sell that home on your behalf. So in the trust, it's easy. You've named the successor trustee that will do it. But if you don't have a trust, your power of attorney has to grant that authority. And in Kansas, it has to include the legal description for the property or the agent would not have the power to do so and would have to get the courts involved. So making sure you've got robust powers of attorneys in place and then giving consideration to a trust. But a trust is sure going to do things for us that no other plan can do.
So that sounds like a lot. It sounds very important. How many people actually have this done properly right now? I would guess at least half do not have it done properly.
Of people that come in, whether they've, you know, a lot of them have not done any estate planning, so obviously okay. They don't have it done. But even of the people that have their estate plan done, it's surprising to me that, you know, most of these estate plans don't even accidentally deal with the issue of what happens if I need long-term care. Mm. How are we going to protect the home? It's like, well, you need to go see an elder law attorney for that. When do they go see the elder law attorney? When they're sitting down at the admission seat desk at the
in a crisis.
Care. Yeah, it's in a crisis. And that's the time when it's the hardest to do it and the least amount of options available. So ideally, the plan should address this stuff early on and have, you know, options that go in to be able to protect assets. But when we get in that crisis mode, there's, again, a lot that can be done and it can get complex, but it's just taking the options that are available to make sure that you're protecting that home, which is, as you said, typically one of the largest assets someone owns.
And I don't know of anyone who makes their best decision under the heat of that crisis just bearing down on you. You're so stressed out. Now you're making decisions, and you're making really huge decisions at that point. Just a bad idea. Avoid it if you can.
Absolutely. You know, pre-plan and just think through. As we tell people that we sit down and plan with, it's, you know, always thinking, where's the end? You know, we work back for that. Where's the goal? Where's our destination we're trying to get to? And then how do we construct this plan to make sure when we get there, we've got it covered?
And so you mentioned trust. So I know for sure that there are a lot of people everywhere where they hear the word trust and they think, oh, well, that's only for rich people. So and again, in your presentation, you had a series of slides right before you started the presentation of, you know, Michael Jackson and Elvis and Prince and just all of these big time celebrities that didn't have their estate plan set up properly and they lost a big chunk of their value because it just wasn't done. And you explained all that very well. But people think, okay, maybe I'm generalizing, but a lot of folks think, oh, well, I don't have enough money to need a trust. I think that's only for people who are fairly wealthy.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. I think that came from how trust kind of really got started and took a hold in the early days of trust planning in the U.S. where it really started gaining traction. And it was used for tax planning for people that had wealth and how do we protect against taxes. But that's only one thing that trusts do. And so for like protecting the home, someone who has a lot of wealth, we're less concerned about the cost of long-term care. You know, we'll be able to pay for care. We're not, you know, we'll be able to protect the home and we're okay. Someone of modest means, where their home may represent the largest asset they have, to lose that home, having to pay for cost of care and going broke in a nursing home, those are the people that, to me, the trust brings the greatest value to. Mm-hmm. And if we just apply the principle as we apply to all estate planning, don't overcomplicate things. Keep it simple, but make sure we're protecting what matters most. And trust are a fantastic way to do it. If we're not going to use the trust, then we just need to think through, okay, how do we best set this up to protect it? And making sure we got robust powers of attorneys would certainly be an essential piece of that.
Mr. Glenn Stockton with Stockton and Kant Law. You can reach them online. It's a really, really good website, Stockton Law, and you spell it just like it sounds, StocktonLaw.com, or you can call this phone number, 913-856-2828. And again, We're talking about, you know, this is Glenn is based in the Kansas City area, and this is a national program. So in your neighborhood, if you'd like to find an estate planning attorney, you could go to the American Academy of Estate Planning Attorneys, and that is AAEPA.com, AAEPA.com. Or if you need an elder law attorney, NAELA.org, and you can find one in your neighborhood. But this information is universally applicable, and we're hoping that it helps. And we're going to have more with Glenn coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. All right. Here with my friend and special guest in studio, Mr. Glenn Stockton. He's the owner of Stockton and Cant Law. You can reach out to Glenn and the great team at StocktonLaw.com, or you can give a phone call, 913-856-2828. And again, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, if you're in another state, another area, and you want to find an elder law attorney in your neighborhood, go to the website NAELA.org. NAELA.org. That's NAELA.org. Stands for the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys. Or you can go to AAEPA.com. AAEPA.com. And that's the American Academy of Estate Planning Attorneys. And Glenn, this is just such fantastic information. I know we're getting some attention out there. We may have some folks going, oh, wait a minute. So just to continue the thought. So we talked about if you're proactive and you're deliberate. What if you made the mistake? You waited too long. Something happened. We have a hospitalization, or we have a death in the family, or we have a crisis. And what if you waited too long? And like you said, you need to make these big decisions at the admissions desk. How can you help someone in that situation?
Yeah, and unfortunately, this is where we see a lot of people that's they hadn't prepared for this, and they didn't see it coming oftentimes,
yeah.
Right? It was the stroke or something that happened, and they've been discharged from hospital to rehab and then being told you're not going home. How do we protect the home and the other assets? And that's what elder law attorneys do, right, as a primary function of what we do in the elder law world. And we're in that crisis mode at that point. So we don't have the luxury typically in that situation of being able to satisfy a five-year look back. So, you know, it starts with exemptions. I think we always start there. What can we exempt out? Is there a way I can just exempt the home? If we have a well spouse, meaning there's a spouse who's not going to need care, still going to be living in the home, typically that's pretty easy. We can put an exemption on the home. But then I always have to be worried, yeah, but what if that spouse needs care?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we need to be, again, now we're planning, we're doing the crisis planning for the one spouse, but we're planning ahead for the other, so we're not in crisis again a few years down the road. But we can use exemptions. We can oftentimes there may be an exemption. Maybe there was a child or a family member who was living in the home, and we can use a caregiver exemptions. Sometimes we can sell the home. You had been on earlier and talking about, so we can sell that. But then how do we protect those net sale proceeds? And there's a lot of ways we can do that. A lot of tools at the disposal of an elder law attorney. But the thing is, seek that assistance as soon as you can. Once you realize that, hey, it's looking like, we may not be able to go home, I would encourage you, call us or seek out the assistance of an elder law attorney, because as elder law attorneys, we're going to walk you through that to make sure we're protecting assets, but also to make this as easy as possible, this whole transition for you and for your loved ones.
And, I think that's really, really interesting. And I'm learning. I try to learn every day, and I'm learning with your presentation earlier this week and then today. So I always thought if you sold the house and that's an exempt asset and it turns into cash, say, X dollars, it doesn't matter how much it is. And cash is a countable asset, but you may be able to protect that as well?
Right, depending on how we structure the sale.
Okay.
May be able to do it with a, because the home was in a trust. It was exempt when it was transferred in. And then when we sell it, it's now exempt. Certainly for Medicaid, if it's been in there for more than 5 years, you know, but for VA purposes, for our veterans out there, that could be day one, right? Even though the VA has a 3-year look back, if we transfer the home in while it's exempt, you know, we could transfer it today and in theory sell it tomorrow, and those proceeds would be protected from VA. So we're also looking at Medicaid's not, insurance is not the only benefit that's out there, not the only way to pay for long-term care. But yeah, there's a lot of ways through promissory notes, through potentially, you know, annuities, Medicaid compliant annuities, through various ways that we could take net sale proceeds and still be able to protect them from a complete Medicaid spend down.
See, that is fascinating, and this is why I get a little preachy when it comes to this stuff. A lot of people say, oh, well, no, I'll just go online and do some, you know, download a form. And I'm like, no. Contact a qualified and experienced elder law attorney. And my quote is, and I've said this forever, it's the best money you will ever spend, because there's no online form that is going to handle and think through what's in your best interest. Just in that short information that you just provided, that cannot be done online. And AI is not going to help you. Forget about it. Okay, contact an experienced and qualified elder law attorney.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the concept of, you know, using, you know, whether it's AI or, you know, some will somebody's going to pull off a shelf and fill in, that's that you're hiring attorneys to create forms, to you're hiring an attorney for the transaction of estate planning. And within our firm, we've always looked at that. That's the wrong mindset. You know, we don't view this as a transaction. You know, you're not hiring me to create a set of documents. You're hiring me to make sure that you have a plan in place and your plan works when needed. And so there's more than just creating the documents, because those documents are going to get outdated very quickly. So within our firm, you know, we like to meet with our clients on a regular basis, make sure that those, you know, we keep those up to date. We call it the annual check-in. We don't charge for that meeting. We've always found that to be a win-win relationship. You know, we're not charging our clients just to confirm plan choices, make sure the I's are dotted, T's are crossed. But boy, if our clients have future legal needs, they're far more likely to look to us and our firm than some other attorney. We get a lot of referrals. So, you know, but that concept is you got to look at the stuff periodically. You don't just set it and forget it, you know, in 15 years from now, expect that plan's going to necessarily work. You want to make sure you review it periodically.
Well, and one thing that can outdate it really quickly is a death of a spouse, or what if there's a divorce and then you remarry? That's a game changer. You have to reset the whole thing at that point, I would assume.
Often so, especially if you haven't planned for this stuff in advance, the spouse or remarry or whatever. Those are game changers.
Yep, absolutely. And then just in the very short time that we have available, any advice on – so since it's just such a – there's such a proliferation of AI and all the online stuff, and for $15 you can get your will and trust kit and all this kind of stuff. It, like you said, those are forms. They're not relationships. They're not customized to you. You don't have an attorney's mind listening to your goals and then working out a plan. But aren't those things just pretty generic, like kind of boilerplate kind of things that you would – it's not really customized to you?
And typically it's true. I mean, I've seen some software that can produce them, but you have to know the questions to ask. But they're still typically not designed with the elder law planning piece, the protecting the homes. Those things are typically not part of those programs.
Excellent. Mr. Glenn Stockton with Stockton and Cant Law. You can reach out to Glenn and the great team at 913-856-2828 or online at StocktonLaw.com. And again, I'll say it from now until forever, hire a qualified, experienced elder law attorney. It will be the best money you have ever spent. And Glenn, thanks so much for being here today. I really appreciate you.
All right, Steve, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it as well.
You bet. All right, I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.
Welcome to the Long-Term Care Minute, brought to you by the law firm of Stockton & Cant, your trusted partners in elder law and estate planning.
I'm attorney Glenn Stockton. Many of you are concerned about what would happen to your home and assets if you ever need nursing care. Yet most people don't really do anything to plan for the cost of care until they are already seated at the admissions desk at the nursing home. While you may have an estate plan in place, in our experience, most plans simply fail to address the potential need for long-term care. At Stockton and Kant, we work with our clients to craft customized estate plans that include provisions to help protect them and their assets should they ever need nursing care. Don't let the fear of going broke in a nursing home keep you up at night. Take control of your future with the trusted attorneys at Stockton and Kant. Visit us online at StocktonLaw.com or give us a call at 913-856-2828. Stockton and Kant, where peace of mind begins.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.